Morning to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 15. Before you get there, anybody know what's in Luke chapter 15? What? No, but it's close. That's just a few chapters on. All right, Luke chapter 15. I tell you what, if it's in the book of Luke, a good guess if you just said parable. All right, because Luke's got a lot of parables in it. Or you could be like Brother Dave Gardner. At one time he was a famous Southern comedian. He said he knew what was in every book and every library in all the world. And somebody said, well, what? He said, words. So I guess you could plead that if you wanted to. I was sitting here this morning on the pew here just waiting for the last song to be finished, and I thought, you know, I'm teaching homiletics in Bible college this semester. I'm sitting here, I was wondering, I wonder if I'm going to do everything I'm teaching those guys to do. You know, I'm going to do what I teach them to do, and I'm not sure if I do or not sometimes, but we're just going to launch in, all right? Probably one of the most well-known parts of the Bible is here. People are aware of it, and let's begin reading in verse 11. The Bible said, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, we've just read one of the most well-known stories found in the pages of God's Word. It's very familiar. Lost World may not know the story, but they've heard of it, and they've heard the term, you know, prodigal son, and I realize there's been a multitude of messages preached from this passage. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm about to preach another one, all right? You say, oh, preacher, I've heard sermon after sermon from and about the prodigal son. Well, good, good. I'll tell you something, we'll never, never plumb the depths of this example from life for us. We'll never do it. And the truth is, usually we just kind of skim the top and find enough there to challenge, inspire us, and convict us, you know. And if we went too deep, we might all drown. So we're not going to go deep today, all right? We'll just wade out a little bit and see if God might use and might take this and use the message to speak to all of us. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of the prodigal's choice. The prodigal's choice. Because I want you to notice that everything happened was at the choice of the prodigal. It was his choice. First of all, he chose to leave a very good place. That's what verse 13 it says. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There's nothing said in the scriptures where his dad said, okay, boy, I've given you your inheritance. Get out of here. Make your own way. He didn't have to leave. He wasn't cast out. He wasn't thrown out. He wasn't encouraged to leave at all. No, he made a decision. He made a decision to leave the place where people loved him. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to be where people love me. And if they can't love me, if they can at least tolerate me, it'll be all right, you know? But, I mean, here he was. He left that place. You ever stop and think, what made him do that? What made him do that? Why would you leave that? Why would you leave a place where you're loved, you're provided for, all of that? Why'd you do it? Maybe he's one of those that just said, hey, these people are just smothering me. I just can't take it anymore, you know. I can't do my own thing. I just can't have a good time the way I want to do it. And I'm determined I'm getting out of here. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But he left the place where he was loved. He left the place where he had a job. Maybe that's why he left. A lot of people in this world don't want to work. Well, a lot of people don't want to work. My wife's mom, Ms. Worley, is up in an assisted living place up in Watauga. And the personnel there is on a revolving door. None of them stay very long. And that's the case with all of those places, I think, nursing homes, assisted living. I mean, it just seems to be a revolving door. People are in and out. They work a little while. They come hang around a little while. But oftentimes, they really don't want to do the work that's there, all right? My wife has got a camera in the room, and she can access it through her phone, and she gets aggravated when they come in and say, Ms. Worley, do you want to take a shower? She said, quit asking her. Tell her you're going to take one, all right? That'd be like you when you had that little kid at your house, and you come in and say, you ready? You want to take a bath? How many of them said, oh, yeah! They didn't want to do that. You ask them now, they don't want to. Nothing's changed, but people don't want to work. Well, he left the job. You know, maybe he wanted to leave that. Maybe he got tired of the duties and responsibilities. A lot of people today don't want that. I've had people in church come to me and say, preacher, I just don't want that responsibility. I don't want to do that. One time there was a lady that played the piano. It's not Ms. Noble, okay? There was a lady that came, played the piano for us, and she finally came to me and said, I just don't want that responsibility. I don't want that responsibility. Now, she didn't have the responsibility. She said, okay, you don't have to play, you know, give you a place to serve God. She didn't want to play. Now, by the way, they wound up very quickly out of church, divorced, home went downhill. Maybe they didn't want that responsibility either. A lot of people don't want duties. They don't want responsibilities, all right? Some people think it's real bad to have that, and it's hard, you know. Hey, it's not. I tell you, it's good to work. It's good to work. You younger folks here, I'm going to tell you something. It's a good thing to learn to work. Good thing to learn to work. And by the way, be held accountable for that work. Somebody come along and say, all right, you did the job. Here it is. How'd you do? I don't know. Whatever caused it, this fella, this prodigal son, chose to leave. He packed up. He left, but not before demanding what he thought belonged to him. He made the choice. He made the choice to leave a good place. But don't you see this? He chose to live another life, too. He chose to live another life. You look at verse 13 again there where he was there. Right at the very end, three words, with riotous living. Riotous living. He left the security. He left the provision. He left the protection for a riotous life. Hey, it was party time! I get so tired of hearing kids and young people say that. Some of them I want to hit them with a stick when they say it, all right? Hey, but that's the attitude of many people. What is it? No restraint. No restraint. Ain't no rebuke. Boy, we live in a day. People don't want somebody to tell them what to do, what not to do. No rebuke. That's him. Hey, by the way, he found out no real friends either. No real friends either. That's the way of it. It was a choice that he made. He said, I'm going to live another life. I've been living this, you know, life held back and restrained and deprived. I couldn't do things. That was the kind of life I lived. I had parents that were brutal. They were strange. They expected my brother and I to do what they said. And not only what they said, but the way they said it. Strange people. And so I was held back, and I was so glad that when I finally got out of high school that I could do my own thing. And I found out what I wanted to do was what God wanted me to do. I had a good, man, I'm glad that I was held back, though, when I didn't have enough sense to make an intelligent decision. Hey, here's this son. He's turned loose. He made a choice. I'm going to live a different life. I think about it. I read these scriptures, and I immediately think so many today, that's the life they seem to long for. That's the life they seem to long for. He said, preacher, look at us. We're not that kind of people. Wait a minute. I've seen people go off the deep end at every age. Every age. We look at it and say, well, he's a young guy. I've known old people to do it. I go out today, and I'll be sitting in a restaurant, and here's somebody in the later stages of middle age. Actually, they've already reached old age. They've got blue hair, studs in their ears, and a nose ring. And I'm thinking, man, did you never get old enough to wake up in life to reality? What in the world? But man, people trying to hang on to that. Hey, it's that attitude that starts and says, don't tell me what to do. Man, I just don't want to do it. Just let me be myself. It's all about self-expression. Let me make my own choices. Well, go for it, you know. People today don't want to be held any kind of standards of conduct. I just want to live it up. I want to live it up. I've seen pictures, programs on TV of folks going, I have no idea if it's what it's like or not, okay? Now, maybe some of you can illuminate us on it. I don't know. But I look at it, and you see people, they're going into this nightclub. They have to be let in, and they go in, I guess it's a nightclub, and you see all these people, and the lights are flashing. There's loud music playing, and they're, I guess they would call it dancing. I sort of see them just sort of shaking and jumping around, and I'm thinking, really, that's fun? That is enjoying yourself, you know? Okay, whatever, all right? But hey, it's that old deal, if it feels good, do it. It's that psychology, that philosophy, that mentality that's afflicted people, and it's been around. Hey, by the way, it didn't start in the 60s. It's been around since Cain. I'm just going to do my own thing, you know, and do what I want to do. I'll go my own way and do that. Well, that was a choice the prodigal made, all right? He made that choice. He said, I'm going to live a different life. It was a life controlled by the flesh. It was a life conducted through the lust of the flesh. It was a life literally consumed by the flesh. Now, I want to tell you something. You do that, and you'll find your flesh consumes you. You'll find your flesh consumes you. I had a funeral yesterday. I told you I had the funeral for Mrs. Bird. And talking to a lady there that was one of her, actually her stepdaughter, she told me, she said, man, I'd appreciate your prayer for me. I'm raising my granddaughter because my daughter is on meth. On meth. Why? That'll consume you, buddy. That'll consume you. It'll eat you alive. So many people today we hear about dying because of drug overdose. Wait a minute, why do you turn to that? Controlled by the flesh. Consumed by the flesh. Hey, by the way, that was the prodigal's choice. He chose that life. By the way, he chose a wasted life. A wasted life. Look, if you will, there in that verse 13 again. It says he there wasted his substance. That means he wasted all the inheritance he had received. All right? When we think, let's be honest, and we think about inheritance, we think of this kind of stuff, green stuff. We think of green. By the way, it's thick because you put a lot of ones together, it's thick. All right? And but you get this green stuff, and people have it, and it's amazing how people waste it. That's what this prodigal did. He asked for his inheritance. He said, I want what's coming to me. He got it. He immediately proceeds to go out, and he wasted all that he had received from his dad. Wasted his substance, his stuff, money that he could have used to provide for himself a good life, to meet his needs, and invest for the future, but all of it thrown away in that different life he decided. That different choice he made. Every bit of it pitched to the wind. You say, boy, I'd never do that, but I'm amazed how many people do that today. I'll say it again. We hear people that win the lottery, win millions of dollars, and in a few years are broke. My word, how do you do that kind of thing? Can I just ask you, how much stuff do you want? So I want to buy all these vehicles. I've noticed you can only drive one at a time. You can only drive one at a time. Well, I want a house with 47 bedrooms. You can only sleep in one bed at a time. He said, well, I guess you could jam two twin beds together and lay across, and you say, I'm sleeping in two. Big deal. You can't sleep in two bedrooms at a time. You can't do it. Boy, I'm amazed at people, how they'll go through money. Just amazed at how people go through money. I've known of people in my life, now they didn't win the lottery, but they received an inheritance, and it was a good sum of money, a good bit of cash, and bam, it was gone. What have you got to show for it? Well, I had a good time. I guess you could talk to the prodigal. Well, I had a good time, you know. But wait a minute, I want you to look. I want you to think about this. He wasted more than his substance. Would you look at this? He wasted himself. He wasted himself. Whatever talents and abilities he had that he could have put to some useful service, wasted. They're gone. Gone. He wasted his time. He wasted his talent. Now, you waste your time, friend, I'll tell you, there's something you'll never get back. Now, you waste money. You can go out and get a job and work and earn money and get money back. But you waste time, it's gone. It is past, and you just kissed it goodbye, all right? I don't care who you are. You can't retrieve it. You can't reel it back in. You can't do like I often would do when I had teenagers and I'd take movies. I had a movie camera and a Super 8 movie camera, and we'd take movies. And then the best way to watch them was running backwards. All right? You know, you do that. I remember going to camp at youth camp at Silver State, and they had the rodeo, and guys would ride calves, and they'd get thrown off. It was so much fun to watch that thing backwards. You'd see this guy, he gets down on the ground, he takes his hat off, lays it on the ground, and he gets down on all fours, then he lays out, and then all of a sudden, boom, he springs back and he's on the calf, you know. It's hilarious, all right? But you can't do that with your life. You can't do that with your time. Once it's spent, it's gone. I'm going to be honest with you. Every one of us, God's given us talents. God's given us abilities. Boy, it's so sad to me to see people that don't want to use those abilities serving God. Don't want to use that. Hey, preacher, I've already said I don't want that responsibility. I don't want that job. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to be somebody that you expect to be here every Sunday, and, you know, because I don't want God to think I have to be faithful to Him. Now, nobody ever put it in those words, but that's what they're saying. It's exactly what they're saying. Hey, I just don't want to be that. I don't want it. He made that choice, all right? He made that choice. He said, I'm going to just waste it. Waste yourself. Look, you can take your money and waste it, but to waste your own self is a sad thing. To waste yourself. What you could have done, any good that he could have done, any blessing that he could have been, gone. Wasted that opportunity. It was over. I want you to notice that choice left him friendless. It left him forsaken. It left him hungry. We find him flinging feed in the farmyard. Boy, if that's not your dream job, I don't know what would be, right? Yeah, I want to feed the pigs. That's the job I want. That's the job I want. Now, not the owner. I know people raise pigs and all that. This young lady raised a cow, raised a steer, put it in the stock show, and I understand it sold this last week for over $400,000. Wonder how she'll use that money. I hope she uses it wisely. But if she'd have been the prodigal, she'd have wasted it. She'd wasted it. He wasted it. He wasted it. What a shame. Well, I just can't overemphasize what a sad thing it is for a person to waste their life. Now, I realize people look and say, "Preacher, I don't have any talent. I don't have any ability. I can't do anything." Yes, you can. Yes, you can. There's not a one of us that God hasn't given some ability. Now, our problem is we look at what we can't do. We can't do. Oh, I can't play the violin like Mrs. Dunbar. Oh, I can't play the trumpet. You know, I can't play it like Matthew. I can't play the piano like Mrs. Noble. I can't play the organ like Mrs. Mosley. I can't sing like Brother Marion. That's a good thing. Hey, none of those things matter. Hey, we always look at what we can't do. You with me? That's what we always look at. We look at it and say, "I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do anything." Wait a minute. Won't you start looking for what God's entrusted you with the ability to do? And what abilities have you worked to improve? What ability have you worked at to improve that? Hey, our problem is we're always thinking what we can't do. But God's blessed every one of us. What a terrible thing to waste your life. Waste your life. And when it's gone, that's it. The Bible talks about a fellow who died and there was nobody to mourn him. That's a sad thing. I think about old Brother Dennis. I think about Brother Dennis Lockhart from time to time, and I think about a guy. When you talk about a fellow had no abilities, he didn't have any abilities. He didn't have any abilities. He couldn't sing. He couldn't play an instrument. He couldn't do anything like that. But you know what? He could care about people. He could care about people. He could say, "You know, I'd like to work on the bus route," and he did. For years and years and years and years, he cared about people. He took out of the meager amount that he got financially, and he bought candy for every kid on the bus. And every Sunday, the kids that rode that bus with him, when they got off, he'd give them a little bag, a little Ziploc bag of candy. Here it is. That he had gone to the store and he had bought. Hey, he didn't waste his life. Didn't waste. He didn't have good education. I don't think he went past the eighth grade. I think he quit school in the eighth grade. All right. He wasted it. He didn't waste his life, though. All right. He didn't waste his life. Hey, you don't have to waste it. Prodigal made that choice. He chose a wasted life. But don't you look at verse 18. There is good news. Verse 18, he said, "I will arise and go to my father." He made a choice to go back. Hey, finally, first smart choice he made. First smart choice he made. All the rest of them were wrong. Choosing to leave where it was nice, saved, he was loved, that was a dumb thing to do. Choosing to live a different life, my friend, that was a dumb thing to do. Choosing a wasted life, boy, was that ever a dumb thing to do. But choosing to go back, wise choice. Wise choice. He finally got fed up with the consequences of his choices. You know, I see a lot of people that never seem to get fed up with them. Never seem to get fed up with them. I've dealt with them. I've sat in the office and talked to them. And they've said, "Could you help me?" I said, "I'll try to." And begin to try to talk to them about what they should do, what the Bible said they ought to do. They walked out the door. Guess what? Still making the bad choice. Still not fed up with the consequences of all their bad choices. Man, still messed up in life. But this prodigal, he got fed up. He decided, you know what? There has got to be something better than the filth I'm living in. There has got to be something better. Now, I want to tell you something. There is something better. There is something better. You make choices and you get headed the wrong way. Things are turned around or backwards or upside down. And boy, life is messed up. Hey, make the right choice. The right choice was not to plunge onward. He did not decide, I will be the best fleet flinger in this farmyard. I'm glad he didn't make that choice. I'm glad he decided, you know what? I'm going back. I'm going back because my troubles, he realized, my troubles started with a choice I made. My troubles started with a choice I made. I made that choice to depart where I was and I was loved, I was cared for, and I was protected and I was provided for, but I chose to leave that. I'm going back to those folks that love me. I'm going back to them. Hey, listen, that's what you need to do. He said, I'm going to go back to the people that love me, the people that prayed for me, the people that provide for me, that take care of me. I'm going back to where the blessings were and where I enjoyed the blessings of God. Hey, I'm going back where the burden was light. Remember the Bible, the Lord says, take and learn of me, take my yoke upon you, for my burden, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. But we look at it and we think, oh, it's heavy. It's heavy. It's too heavy. I can't bear up under it. Yes, you can. His burden's light. Hey, you take out there and take a stroll out in the world and living it up and that riotous, ungodly living. Everything opposed to what the Bible said, and what you're going to find out is that yoke's heavy. That yoke's heavy. I've talked to folks that they woke up, they were in jail. Wonderful place to be. Wonderful place to be. Just couldn't stay out of jail. Two guys, members of this church, because of them, I visited every jail in Tarrant County. Every jail in Tarrant County. They've been in them. They both spent time in Huntsville. Why? Because they made some choices. They made some choices. It wasn't a deal where, well, hey man, everybody's just it. No, you made a choice. You made a choice. I got news for you. I see people all the time. They're not necessarily in jail. They're not violating the law. But man, the burden is heavy. Why? Choice they made. And the choice was, I'm not going to do what you say, Lord. I'm just not going to do it. Not going to do it. We've had kids come through our Christian school, good kids. And I mean that, good kids. And they got out of school and decided, I'm going to do my own thing. And yet I've talked to them later and they said, yeah, man, it was pretty rough. I said, yeah, but that was your choice. That was your choice. It's not something that somebody did to you. But finally, he made the right choice. He made the right choice. Now, can I say this? What he chose was he chose the Father. And can I say this to you? If you choose the Father, there'll be a reception. Would you look at verse 20? I don't know about you, but I read verse 20 and it's exciting. Verse 20 is exciting. He arose, came to his father, but he was yet a great way off. His father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. What a reception. Here's the son. Here's the son that had taken his inheritance and departed. Now, the father didn't, I don't know that he knew what had happened. But I'm sure he saw him coming back, and he saw he's not leaving in as good a shape as he's not coming back in as good a shape as he left in. I mean, it had to be dirty, clothes ragged and worn. That's not the way he left. But boy, aren't you glad that when he came back, his father didn't go, I told you so. Hey, could that be a lesson to you parents that are here? Well, keep the door open. Keep the door open. I'm glad my two kids are in church. I'm glad they're serving the Lord. My daughter's not in church today. She's at home. She's sick, and two kids are sick. But I'm glad they're faithful. They're in church. I'm going to tell you something. If they weren't, you're not looking at a dad that would write them off. You're not looking at a dad that would say, well, I tried to tell you, you should have listened to me. If the phone call comes, said dad, and that were to happen, they would call and say, dad, I need help. I said, why didn't you think of that before you left? No, I'd have said, where can I meet you? Where can I meet you? The father, well, what a reception. The Bible said he had compassion. Compassion. Hey, was the son wrong? Well, of course he was wrong. Had he ignored his dad's advice? Probably. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I'm sure he did. I'm sure his dad maybe pled with him not to go. He was a good dad. Said, don't make that mistake. And but that's not it. What we see is compassion. Compassion. He ran to meet him. And boy, fell on his neck and kissed him. Grabbed him. Grabbed him. It wasn't, man, you need a bath before I touch you. Well, I'm glad. Hey, listen, when you choose the Father, you're going to find a reception. Oh, preacher, I've messed up. I know, but fortunately for you, there's a God in heaven that still loves you. Still loves you. Oh, but man, I've gone back on him. Oh, there's a reception. That God standing there with open arms, he's ready to receive you back. And some people say, well, some Christians don't treat me right. Well, it's not Christians. It's God you need to talk to, all right? It's God you need to meet with. And I'll be honest with you. I hope as a church that we're a group of people that if somebody gets out into sin, that they come back. I hope they don't go, what are they doing here? Oh, it ought to be thank God. Thank God they're here. Thank God they came. Hey, I'm glad they're here. Hey, there's a reception. I talked to folks at that funeral yesterday. Many of those folks there rode our bus to church at one time. I told every one of them, I said, boy, sure would like to see you in church again. Sure would love to have you come. Be good to see you. Some of them left on difficult circumstances, shall we say, all right, because of their things they had done. Man, you say, you take them back in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Hey, when you choose the Father, there'll be a reception. But whoa, it gets better. Look at verse 22. Verse 22. Bring hither the fatted calf. Oh, excuse me. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Not a robe, the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. We're going to feast. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? There'll be a reception, but there'll be a restoration. There'll be a restoration. The son saying, hey, I just want to be a hired servant. I don't think he hardly got that out of his mouth. His dad said, forget that, boy. Bring a robe. Bring the best robe. Bring the ring, that family crescent. Put it on his finger. Put the robe on him. Put shoes on his feet. Hey, my son's come back. There's a restoration. We're going to restore him. He's going to be back to where he was. The relationship's still there. We walk together. He's not a hired servant. He's not anything else. He's not the stepchild. This is my son. We're going to restore him to everything that he had and everything that was his is still his. It's his again. Don't you see verse 21? The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned. There's where the key is to the reception and the restoration. There's where the key is. Will you repent? Will you repent? See, some people want to come back and say, I'm just going to keep on living the way I live. Nope, nope, nope. That won't work. That won't work. There has to be repentance. There has to be that acknowledgement. Nope, I was wrong. I was wrong. I've sinned. That prodigal did not come back with that flippant attitude that you often see in people nowadays. that attitude that says, well, what of it? What are you going to do about it? He didn't come that way. He came with the right attitude and he said, I've sinned. I've messed up. I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. All of that was true. All of that was true. But because he was willing to repent, he could be restored. He could be restored. Oh, listen, let me say this to you. You wander off. You said, man, I've gotten away from God. I've messed up. God hadn't written you off. God hadn't written you off. By the way, I didn't preach this morning to make you feel bad. Don't do that ever. Hey, I'm preaching this message for a couple of reasons. One, to warn you about bad choices. Warn you about bad choices. There's none of us sitting here can't make the bad choice. Not a one of us. Hey, this one standing here can make the bad choice too. We can. And it can happen. It can happen now. We could. I want to warn you away from them bad choices. But if you made that bad choice, that wrong choice, I want to bring you back. I want to bring you back. I want you to come back. I didn't want you to leave to begin with. I want you to come back. I want you to make that right choice, all right? And I want to help you stay with that right choice. Hey, we ought to look at this story. If you're sitting here this morning and you said, man, I've never done that. I've never drifted away. I've stayed right with God. Good. I want you to read that, though, and be warned. Look what can happen. And it can happen to you as just as easily. It can happen to this fellow right here. It can happen to you. Should never have done it. I've lived for God. Good. You've reaped the benefits and the blessings. And if you forever a moment think, well, the burden is heavy, you need to talk to some people. You need to talk to that crowd that's made that wrong choice and find out what a heavy burden's really like. What a heavy burden's really like. Boy, if you're living right, good. I want to keep making those right choices. Hey, if you've messed up along the way, I want to say this. You can't bring back the wasted years. You can't do it. I mean, they're gone. Now, by the same token, that doesn't mean you ought to sit now and say, well, I wasted all them. Life's done. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're still alive. You're still alive. Well, preacher, I don't know how long I've got to live. Me either. But I know this, whatever years I've got, I want him to use them. I want to take that time. I don't want to waste that time. I want to invest that time. I want you to invest that time. And whatever time you have from now until death claims you, decide, make the choice, I'll make it count. I'm going to use my ability. Or if nothing else, I'll use my inability. But I'm going to take whatever I've got. I'm going to use it. Hey, it's a choice. Prodigal made a choice. He made bad ones. Finally made a good one. Now what are you going to choose? What are you going to choose this morning? What are you going to choose to do? Well, I've been around a long time, and I've been serving the Lord. I was teaching Sunday school class, or I've been working here, I've been working there. I think I'm just going to pull back. Not me. Not me. Boy, how sad to wind up doing nothing when you could be doing something. I'm reminded of my dad. My dad, up past 70, he began to say, man, I just can't do anything. I said, wait a minute, Dad. I said, you can do something, you just can't do what you could when you're 40. But you can't do everything you could, but you can still do what you can do. And that's what you ought to do. You'll do what you can do. Well, I'm just done. Okay, retire from your job, but don't quit serving God. Don't quit serving God. Retire from that job. Okay, fine, retire from that job. That ought to then give you more time to serve God. And you ought to be pestering me to death. Preacher, what can I do? What can I do? You ought to be like that little boy we had. I was coaching grade school football team. Dumbest idea I ever had. grade school football team in our Christian school. Had this one little boy. He's a very little boy. He could not throw. He could not catch. And he was slow. All right? But man, the one thing he could do was follow me up and down the sidelines. When can I go in? Can I go in now? Would you let me in now? Could I go in now? Can I play? Would you let me in? Hey, I put him in. I said, go in. I don't care what he did. I just didn't want him over here next to me. Driving me crazy. Hey, listen, that's exactly the way we ought to be in life. I've got time to serve God. Hey, what can I do? What can I do? Would you give me something to do? Would you let me be involved? Is there some way I can serve? Is there some way I can serve? That ought to be our attitude. Won't you make the right choice today? Would you stand with every head bowed? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us.